I've enjoyed looking at Roger Ailes' book, You Are the Message, and I want to conclude some of his canon of work by just going through some characteristics of good communicators, according to Roger Ailes. And this is whether it's communication at a one-to-one level, or it's communication in a group, or even preaching a sermon. So I just want to just finish the Roger Ailes book and discussion with some tidbits of characteristics of good communicators. First of all, learn how to get more animated. People who are the best communicators communicate with their whole being. They're animated, expressive, interesting to watch. So get animated. Get out of yourself. I remember when I was young in ministry, a mentor said, you got to kind of like loosen up your emotions more, Henry. And I thought I was already plenty emotional. But he said, when you preach sometime, you sort of just look. And sometimes you just come off as kind of tired and boring. And he said, really, I think you're nervous. So how do you get beyond nervousness, I asked. Well, you just got to blow out of it and just use your arms and smile a little bit up there. Well, what if I feel like tense? Smile anyway. It's better to be smiling nervous than to be looking like you don't want to be there nervous. Okay. Animated. Whether one-on-one or whether speaking in front of others. Vocal range. All of us have a much broader vocal range than we realize. We must be clear our minds and avoid concentrating on what we can't do. We should be open to what we can do on vocal range. That's right. Monotone communication, whether one-on-one or whether in a group, is just not people smart. So use your vocal range up and down and enjoy what God has given you in your voice. Include emotional truth in your voice. The voice, like a smile, is shaped like a shaped by a combination of muscles and emotions. My experience is that you can improve your voice more by working on emotional expression than mechanical skills. So work more on emotional expression than mechanical skills. In other words, get your emotion in your voice. Absorb projection. Very important. Stop for a second. Absorb what's going on. Don't just think about how you're feeling right now. Absorb what's going on. What's the mood of the room, the crowd? Are they down, up, happy, expectant? Read what people are feeding back to you. Are they skeptical or eager? You know, you'll find that one-on-one, you know, if you come into a room and the person's in front of you is like this and their hands are crossed, know that that person is probably closed right now. And maybe you need just to have a few opening sentences and just sort of warm up the room. Read the room. Whether it's, maybe it's a sermon that you're giving, your people, you see that people are too hot and it's a hot day and everybody is like trying to fan themselves. Well, maybe you want to have a shorter message that day but be appropriate. Absorb, project, have that sort of appropriate thinking in whatever audience and whatever environment you walk into. Work on that. Put in your vocabulary, whether it's in English or whether it's in another language, maybe English is a second language for you, but try to find the interesting language in your language that you speak to, whatever your audience you're speaking to. Use comparisons, examples, illustrations, and anecdotes, one-on-one or whether in sermons. Use familiar, concrete language. Avoid general and abstract wording. This is something pastors, you know, you go here at CLI and you learn all kinds of big words and then you want to use these big words to show that you're smarter than anybody? No way, don't do that. Use familiar, concrete language. Use, we call it fire plug words, like short, bright, utilitarian. You know, these are words that sort of have certain emotion to them. Use picturesque, image-producing words. Paint the picture. Keep on the sunny side of life. We can just see the sun. So be that kind of a person. Rely on simple subject-verb order. He smiles at me. Simple words, simple phrase. Interesting language. Stay with one idea per sentence. Again, academics, sometimes they'll have a long sentence and it brings complicated ideas and put them together. Well, when you're talking to people, people smart, one idea per sentence. Use no more than one dependent clause per sentence. You know, so you're talking and we start getting with the word if. If this, if that, if that, if that. What is this, a mathematical calculation? No. Stay away from a lot of dependent clauses. Make frequent use of transition words. Like then, therefore. See, it kind of keeps people with you. Use conversational language. First person pronouns. You know, a lot of times you can, when you're telling a story, you can say, well, you know what I mean, you know what I mean. No, they may not know what you mean. Just, you know, talk about I see this, or contractions, short words, sentence fragments. Yes, sentence fragments. If you can use a sentence fragment and avoid saying a long sentence to set it up, use a fragment. Simple sentences, questions, action verbs, personal antidotes. The point that you're saying is you're learning how to be interesting in all your conversations. So, in order to be more people smart, have eyes in big and small groups. Look at individual people as you speak. In the beginning of a speech or a sermon, look at one person who has a friendly, warm face, because that will help you put you at ease. But as the sermon speech progresses, look at a small group of people all through the audience and continue to talk. Do this purposefully. That's the same when it comes to a small group. You know, at first when you walk into a room, you know what I do is I look for some of those warm people. Those warm people who look like they want to talk to me. Then after that, you know, sort of get in a roll, and sometimes people will be closed, but I might just smile. And it's amazing how a smile and looking somebody in the eye would just warm them up. As you move from small group to small group, or individual to individual in the audience, linger a few seconds. Talk just to that person or just to that small group of people as if you're having a mini conversation with them. This should not be done in any kind of predictable pattern, but in a random fashion so that it doesn't look staged. In other words, you're just sort of in the moment. You don't go to this group because they have money and not that group because they don't. You don't like have some premeditated way. How I look at it is God has me in every place I am for a purpose. And I don't know who God wants me to talk to, but I'm just going to have the adventure of waiting to find out who it is. Again, common sense prevails. The eyes should be used when speaking to a large group the same way. They would be used when speaking to a small group. So whether it's a large group or a small group, the eyes just sort of like scan, connect, large or small, it makes no difference. When you're sitting in a room with four or five people, from time to time you glance at one or the other person, carry on part of the conversation with that person. It's exactly the same when you're on your feet in front of a large crowd. So whether it's a big or small group, there's a certain playfulness of the eyes that just sort of enjoy everybody in the room in a God-glorifying manner. Communicate in tune with feelings. In every communications situation, one-on-one or in a group, you should be asking yourself, what am I feeling here? Whenever I'm confused in a business situation, I generally get very quiet, sit back and ask myself, how do I feel about what's going on here? If I'm in a conversation with one person, I might ask myself, how do I feel about this person? The emphasis is on my feeling. And here's something that I love. God has given us feelings that put us in tune with many times what is going on. And we can learn how to trust those feelings. Oh, they can be wrong sometime. But as we grow in our communication confidence, we will find that our feelings will give us insights on how to be appropriate in every situation. Be in tune with others. You've probably been in a situation where you've read tension between two other people. Although they weren't even speaking directly to each other, much less arguing overtly, you sensed hostility. As a pastor, this will be an incredible tool by which to bring ministry to people, where you'll be able to know sort of how people feel about each other just by feeling the temperature of the room. We all have the capacity to read, sense whatever is happening with others. This ability is every bit as accurate and reliable as the sensory ability of our eyes and ears. It is often more important in forming your final assessment of what is going on. So learn how to be in tune with others. Now, in this whole thing, never forget the principle, do not talk too much. Now, Roger Ailes talks about various encounters he's had in consulting and with helping politicians or helping businessmen do well. And he came upon one leader, and he said he was so boring that I left the room three times. Each time I came back, he was still talking. He was so unwilling to listen and so unaware of what's going on around him that I could have gone out to lunch and he would have just kept on going. So Roger L. talks about this, and never forget this. A good rule of thumb is to listen 60, and he even talks about 70%, and talk 40% of the time. So a good rule of thumb is to listen 60% and to talk 40% of the time. So, now it's time to do for yourself a talking, listening assessment. Ask five people to let you know what your talking, listening ratio is perceived by them to be. Do you talk too little, too much, or just right? Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Now, in these communication principles from Roger Ailes, I want to reiterate that not everything will apply to you in the same way. But these principles help you hone your people smart skills in ministry so you can be used by God in a mighty way.